Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And this past weekend, it was our blessing and our label series really to celebrate communion together and to focus on the cross together. The crucifixion really in some ways becomes a dividing line, a point of history, a point of we're either going to receive it or we're going to reject it. And Luke really tells us the story of the crucifixion through some similar characters and some who are dissimilar. As we've seen throughout his gospel, he takes the opportunity to introduce us to people who feel isolated from God, a little bit too prodigal, people who feel marginalized, I'm sure, spiritually, through things they've done themselves and things that have been done to them. They wear these labels, but as we've said every week, the gospel calls us to a life that's above that. And some of the characters that Luke introduces us to in Luke 23 are the criminals. That's really who we focused on. Seven times in Luke chapter 23, in the telling of the crucifixion, Luke tells us stories about how Jesus, the innocent, gets the guilty verdict, and the guilty go free. He tells us this, first of all, about Barabbas. Barabbas was an insurrectionist and a murderer. Luke tells us that twice, not just once, but twice in just a couple of verses. We just talked about how odd that would be to introduce, you know, somebody. Hey, here's my friend Drew. Drew committed murder, first degree. It was awful. Hey, how about those Buckeyes? They got to shore up the defense this year to win a national championship. Hey, by the way, did I mention Drew committed murder? Like death row. He was on death row, you know. So it would just be really odd. Why would Luke do that? Because he's emphasizing here that Barabbas is a condemned man. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus, Barabbas gets to go free. And so from that, I just said that we're all Barabbas. We're all separated from God by our sin. We're all going our own way instead of turning God's way. We all need to repent. Now, are the consequences of Barabbas's murderous past different? Yes, the consequences are different in the physical world, but they're not different in the spiritual world. We've all done things that we regret. Not just things we've done are wrong, but we fail to do the things that are right. We talked about James chapter 4, verse 17, that says, you know, if you failed to do good things, the things that you ought to do, the way that James says it, then that is sin. So we're all under the same spiritual sentence, but Jesus gives us the opportunity to turn to him. And that's really the story that's told at the end of the chapter in the two criminals, the one that history calls the good thief and the other. Jesus is crucified between two thieves. It's a brilliant marketing campaign by the religious leaders in that day. If there's a thief on the right and there's a thief on the left, who's the guy in the middle? Well, he must be a thief too. That's the way they wanted it to be. So one criminal shouts insults at Jesus. One criminal defends Jesus. And so when it came down to it in the message, we said, listen, we're either represented in one criminal or the other. We are either going to join Jesus or we're going to insult Jesus. It's one of the two. There's no middle ground. We're either going to go God's way or we're going to go our way. We looked at a clip from a fantastic teacher in Ohio in the Cleveland area. His name's Alistair Begg. And he gave an illustration one time about what it was like whenever that good thief entered heaven. And he closed with this line. He said, you know, the man on the middle cross said I could come. When that thief reached heaven, he didn't understand the doctrine of justification. He hadn't done good deeds post-salvation. All he knew was the man on the middle cross said I could come. So that leaves us in a point where we give all we know of us to all we know of Jesus. All we know of us to all we know of Jesus, and that all is important. We don't want to live out this kind of selfish salvation where we say to God, God, save me when I die, but don't tell me how to live. That's not salvation. We, with the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, we have to ask that question, what must I do to be saved? But then we need to ask a follow-up question, which is, what must I do because I'm saved? We don't want to ever find ourselves in the place of asking, what can I do but still be saved, right? We don't want that selfish, my way attitude. So I'm going to pray that into our lives today, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. God, thank you that you save us, the scripture says, to the uttermost. Thank you for going to the cross for us. Thank you for giving us communion, that reminder that we need to repent. So God, I pray that we'll live in that attitude, that mode today. And I pray, God, you'll receive it, that our offering, our repentance will be fragrant aroma to you in heaven. Now you take the opportunity to pray.